Here we go, folks. Here's the bird. That's our official start. Okay, here we go. I'll start it. I'll start restarting. Here we go. Ta-da. Now that I got the video going, let me do that again. Here's a testimony from some lady, young lady on the internet. It says, I'm mentally ready to go back to work. I don't know how so many people can be at home and not work. It is so boring. I miss my work and my people that I work with. There's exactly why young ladies ought not be working, because they're going to learn to love the almighty dollar and working for the God of this world. Turn aside after Satan, what it says in Timothy, and blaspheme the word of God in Titus. So, you know, whatever. I think it's where that little verse is at, but that's what's going on. We are so far gone that we're sticking our ladies out into the workforce, and we know by now that there's more ladies in the workforce than there are men. Ladies are getting all the job, and if they could get the ladies back in the home and put the men to work, there wouldn't be any unemployment. But, and then God would heal our land out of Chronicles, you know, that kind of thing. No, don't pray and seek His face. Get off and do right. Get your women home, get your daughters home. Go out there and get the job through the guys. Well, I could preach on that all morning. It so irritates me. You can't give your daughter wifey stuff to do at home and practice and all that stuff. That's because you're a lousy father yourself. Here we go. Here's a question for today. And tonight we're going to look at the Paulicians, the people, back in the 700s, 800s. It's really quite amazing. But I'll show you some stuff tonight. Here's a question this morning. What do you say to some... here we go. What do you say to someone when they talk about their guardian angels or the angels that are with them? I'm hearing this more and more among Christians. Well, I've noticed that some of the questions that I've asked, I really have not answered the question exact. So make sure that what do you say, I want to make sure that what do you say to someone, there's the question, not about angels, but what do you say to someone when they talk about their guardian angels or the angels that are within? Here's what you tell them. It's been nice knowing you. I've enjoyed our fellowship and our friendship for all these years, but I gotta go. Okay, then they're gonna ask you why. Well, see, if you want to talk about angels, and you don't want me to talk about angels from what the Bible says, then there's no point in hanging around you, because Paul even says, God even says, the risen Savior even says, I shouldn't hang around and have fellowship with you, because you don't want me to talk about the Bible. You get mad at me. Or if you let me talk about Bible, what the Bible says about angels, you're going to get mad, because I'm going to show you that you're wrong and thinking that you have an angel. So either way, you're going to get bumped. You're going to end up having them mad at you. And if you don't say anything at all, get more wood in the judgment seat to burn, and you just prove them once again you're ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, His testimony, and of Paul. See, if somebody asks you about anything that has to do with Bible, you're in trouble. I was thinking of the day, you know, there's always all this conflict. We know that pride, only by pride come a contention. But, you know, notice how the world gets along. I mean, they have their squabbles and stuff. Politics, they don't so much, but they still try to agree to disagree kind of junk. And you know what causes conflict? Truth. When truth enters the picture, I mean, God written, Holy Spirit convincing truth out of a Bible, you will create conflict. I don't care. Even if you want to talk about what the Bible says without even saying the verse itself, you're still going to create conflict. Truth creates conflict. What is it Paul says that they call him? Just because he gives them the truth, he is their enemy. Nobody else has enemies out there other than they just don't like each other, blah, 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 blah. But they can put up with each other's junk, their music and all this stuff. But when you come along and you want to pop in something that scripturally is true or sound in doctrine, you will create a conflict. So is that why people are going back to the community for church? Is that why people are bagging off their King James stuff? Is that why people are dropping Paul? You're tired of creating conflict? Well, weren't you fooled that Jesus himself created a little conflict when he came along and said he was the Messiah? Oh, yeah, right. Well, yeah, they went after him. Don't you think Paul created a little conflict when he said he's got the way of God more perfectly, a more excellent way? You don't think we've ever created conflict by having a King James Bible? We used to not care about that. Now we care. We don't want to create conflict. We become such wusses and such wimpies. Half the time the man let the wife do all the spiritual junk, and look where that's gotten us. Church is full of lovey and smovey and fashion shows and gossip centers and place where her music is more powerful than the Word of God, and where pastors are up there doing everything they can to keep money flowing so they can pay their bills that they buy this junk for. You've got children that have no idea that there's ever one Bible, let alone what it says, and sitting there talking to vegetables and fairies. It's a mess. Well, the women aren't supposed to be men. The men are supposed to be men. And you're not going to find it because we create conflict, and it's not the men that don't want conflict. We don't mind conflict. But it's the women that don't want us to create conflict. Oh, you just make the kids mad. They're leaving. You make the wife mad. Well, you create a conflict. Now, if you got a lie, God, the devil's going to bless that stuff. We've always said that if you're making more friends and the church is growing, something's wrong. Either you're not telling people what you're supposed to tell them, or the church is lying to the community. People don't want to come to your church unless you put out a bunch of worldly lies. That's just a fact. Why pastors can't get a hold of that thing. When there's a falling away, which I'll say there is, then why do they think they need to do stuff to get the community to come to church? That means you're going to get rid of the truth because you're going to create conflict with truth. You bum. You, what does Paul call them? Hireling. I think it was in Paul somewhere in there. It's called hirelings. Well, here, I won't talk so stupid. I'll find out where it's at. I got my handy-dandy Bible word finder. I-H-H-A-R-E-L-I-N-G is in John and John. There we go. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Okay, put that towards these guys, towards the Jews. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Well, there's more news than that verse I've ever seen. But that's what happens today. You're still a hireling. You think you're a pastor? You're a liar. You're letting the world get a hold of your people. You're letting the world take away your King James Bible. You're not preaching the truth anymore, but you're getting more people. Well, congratulations. I'm proud of you. By the way, Paul does say that in these days, these modern preachers and stuff, they think that gain is godliness. So how are you going to judge your church of doing right is by having more people come from the community? You hireling, you. Preach the truth. That's not going to happen in churches out here. It's not going to happen out here. This isn't going to happen. Women running the ship and these cowboy guys, you know, right. You know, you're a cowboy, but you do better with your horses than you do your wives. Of course, wives are horses, but more like mules, I guess. Here we go. Let's look at the thing today. So, back to that question. What about angels? What do you say to people? That's what you tell them. They're not going to want to hear what you have to tell them. So, what does the Bible say about angels then? Well, let's find out. Here we get started. Now, the title is, Do we all have a clearance? And I think, oh, nobody's, oh, there we go. And you all know what I'm referring to. Maybe Stephen doesn't. You know who Clarence is, Stephen? Yo, sir. No. Oh. The movie, It's a Wonderful Life. This guy, Bailey, something Bailey. Bill Bailey, once you come home? Who's that guy's name? John Bailey? George Bailey, there we go. He gets all messed up and everything, and he goes to kill himself, and he's rescued by this angel who jumps into the river. His name is Clarence. And this Clarence guy has to help George get his life back, and then if he does, he'll earn his wings. So whenever there was a tingle or a bell in the movie, Clarence would say, well, another angel earned his wings. So whenever you hear a bell, that was what that was all about. Yeah. And so those of us who have watched this thing umpteen gazillion times over the last waste of 50 years that we have, we know that we talk about angels, we hear a little ding-a-ling, like a cash register or something. Ah, we all think this. You know you do. So don't tell me you don't. Up, an angel just got his wings from that stupid movie. I hate that movie, da-da-da-da. Yeah, but you still remember that little ding-a-ling. And Clarence is a ding-a-ling. There's no doubt about it. So I just say, do we all have a Clarence? This is not referring to Clarence down in, where are you at there, Clarence? South Carolina? Georgia. How come I don't remember where Clarence lives? Clarence. South Carolina. Savannah's Hughes. Yeah, South Carolina. Okay. Gee whiz. So, what do we do here? You know, people wear angels. They wear them on their earrings. They wear them on their tongues. They wear them up their nose. They wear them in their belly buttons, all the other places they should be wearing stuff. And they wear these angels. And they've got angels in their pockets. They've got angels on their purses and billfolds. And they think that they're being blessed. Here's something. When I started working on this thing, I was thinking about angels and how people fall for this angel junk. And I don't know if I have any. Yeah, here we go. Remember the St. Christopher medal that Catholics used to wear? And no, they used to wear them and they'd have stuck on their dashboards. And I wrote it down someplace. Now I can't remember where it was here. But it was, if you notice, it's the St. Christopher medal is no longer on people's dashboards and stuff. It's not there anymore. Here we go. Is that it? Oh, I think it was thinking about 1936 or 1960-something, when the Pope declared Christopher no longer anything spectacular. And yet at one time, he was their hero. I mean, here's some stuff about this Christopher guy. He's been especially revered by athletes, mariners, ferrymen, and travelers. He is revered as one of the 14 holy helpers. He holds patronage of things related to travel and travelers against lightning, against, well, see, you ever been hit by lightning? No, well, it's because you know St. Christopher. Against pestilence, archers, bachelors, boatmen, bookbinders, epilepsy, floods, fruit dealers, fullers, which are people that work with cloth, gardeners, they want to have a holy death, market carriers, motorists and drivers, sailor storms and surfers, toothache, and transportation workers. They would pray to St. Christopher. And the story goes that St. Christopher was carrying a baby across the river one time and almost drowned, got the baby on the other side of the river, and started to crab to the baby because it almost killed him. And the baby talked and said, well, you carried your Savior across the river. That was Jesus. And then the baby disappears. You know, gee whiz, people are so stupid. He's the big guy. And it said that in French, the medal would say, look at Christopher and go on reassured. And then in Spanish it says, if you trust St. Christopher, you won't die in an accident. And I wonder how many car accidents, I've always wanted to know that, even when I was a kid, how many wrecked cars had a St. Christopher statue on the dashboard. I really wanted to find that out, but I'd like to find how many cars that were in accidents, hit a deer, had those little horn things on the front of their bumpers. Only in America would you buy something that somebody says, it sounds like this to deer, but we can't hear it. So how do we know it even works? One of those things. You know, it's like, oh, funny. Let's get back on the trail here. I think my nose is clean, my throat is clear. I bashed St. Christopher, and I went after the fathers and the men that women are working. And now here we go. I got to be careful here, because I know some, again, we're living in the day of grace, dispensation of grace, and I know that some people have to work. I mean, that's just the reality of life. It is. That's how far gone we are. And I know that the women want to be home, some of them that are working, and I'm sad for them that they can't be home with their kids. I'm sad that they put them out there with all these men for their bosses and all these men and wearing what they have to wear in these stupid stores with their T-shirts and their stupid things and won't allow them to be modest. And no, I think that's a crying shame. I think, lady, if you have to be modest, you ought to quit the stupid job and fight what you have to fight. Part of the problem here is the church is supposed to take care of those kind of situations. We tried, and I think that's the way it's supposed to be. The church is supposed to be there for its people, its brethren, its saints, and that's the case it is. But people can say what you want to say. Here we go. Angels. Well, was Jesus an angel? People think that Jesus was an angel. A lot of people think that when you die, you become an angel. And we know what Satan is. He's not an angel. The cherubim. But he's also called the angel of light. So he makes it look like he's a good guy. So, yeah, we also know that in the Old Testament, Jesus, angel of the Lord, angel of God. Most of those places that talks about that was Jesus before he was God manifested in the flesh. And I don't understand that. Well, I don't either. That's because God is God. The Trinity does exist. It is the Trinity, so people can ignore it if they want. Of course, we can't understand that stuff. If we could understand God, then you got the wrong God, because here in Romans chapter 1, you make him like us. Well, God wouldn't do that. Yes, he would. He's God. God wouldn't send anybody to hell. He doesn't. That's your choice. He provided the answer in every dispensation. He's provided the answer. He just didn't want to do it. So let's go to Matthew 18. Let's get right into this thing. Although it's already 30 minutes into it. Anybody still out there? Yeah, you're still there. Morning, Tushy Graham. I hope you type back and say good morning. I want to make sure I hope you're there. Nice to know you're there instead of just names for everybody. But look at Matthew 18. This is where they get their stuff from. Shouldn't take long to go through this thing. We don't have an angel. We are not going to become an angel. Jesus was not an angel. But we don't have angels as messengers today. Conclusion, in case you can't live through this thing, we have a Bible. God's messenger, if you want to call it that, is a King James Bible. We hear everything we need to hear and more from a King James Bible. We don't even want an angel checking on us. We'll see what Paul says about him here in a minute. In a couple of minutes, anyway. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Everybody awake out there? Nobody's sleeping? Get your Bibles. Here we go. Verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Okay. Well, fine. A couple problems here, though. It's in Matthew, for one. And that's all I need. It's in Matthew. But if you're going to pull out verse 10, why don't you pull out verse 9? If then I offend thee, pluck it out. How about verse 8? If you're going to claim verse 10, don't forget to claim verse 9. Don't forget to claim verse 8. Whereof if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Okay? How about verse 7? How about verse 6? I wish verse 6 came true. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. I wish some parents would be just snooking out of this life the way they treat their babies and children. When a child wants to believe in Christ, believe in him, remember the Old Testament days, the kids knew that he was the Messiah, he knew that he was the Savior kind of a thing. They knew who he was, they believed in him. If anybody messed with those kids, they're better off in the river dead. Now, I wish I could tell some parents, you know what? I mean, being a teacher all these years, and see how parents handle their children and stuff, well, the stuff that I hear about Santa Claus and the stuff I hear about what these kids believe, I tell you, these parents, they need to just be sent to everlasting fire. I mean, it's just ridiculous, horrible. And the parents, the way they take care of, they don't take care of their older children. Yeah, I just can see them at the bottom of the river tied with a piece of concrete stuck on their foot and be our carp bait. And look at verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever shall receive one little child in my name receiveth me. So all I got to do is to get saved is to have children. And teach those kids how to about Jesus Christ as being the truth. Sure. And then I receive Christ for that. Come on, people. But Matthew was not written to us in the slightest, not even a hint. We should be doing stuff out of Matthew. But, you know, they say they follow the Gospels, but they do not believe verse 8 and 9. I mean, there's no way to believe that. We have people with no eyes or no hands, no feet, no parts of any kind, based on if you believe the Old Testament. Gospels, which is the same thing. Well, now we've got to go to some other verses, though. Well, okay, let's go to take your Bibles, turn to Judas chapter 13, verse 20. Oh, wait a minute. Judas isn't in our Bible. No, it's not, but it's in their Bibles. These Catholics, they got it in there. And I wrote it down, but I didn't even pay attention to keep it, because I didn't say, here we go. Judas, as the same Lord liveth. This is from the Vulgate. As the same Lord lives, his angel has been my keeper, both going hence and abiding there, and returning from there here. And the Lord has not suffered me, his handmaid, to be defiled, but has brought me back to you without pollution of sin, rejoicing for his victory, for my escape, and for your deliverance. So, well, of course these Catholics are going to believe. They got them stuck all over their yards. They got them in bathtubs. They've got them in their statues in the front of the yard. They've got them hanging on their necks. They've got them hanging all over their houses and their walls. Of course they think God's protecting their little selves, because they've all got an angel. Let's make them into a little trinket of some sort, icon of some sort. So that's where they get that stuff from. And because everybody's Catholic, one way or the other, if you believe in the Gospels, you believe in a Catholic religion. If you believe in different Bibles, you're reading in Catholic Bible. Because all the transcripts, all the manuscripts went through the Catholic Church. The whole false line of the Gospels, through Westcott and Hort and Jerome and all these guys, this is all Catholic stuff. So, of course they're going to believe in angels. Yeah, and then you got Diana, there you go. And people got Cher for their angel, you know, they've got Lindsay Lohan for their goddess, their little angel. Just ridiculous out there. Look at the music. I mean, you know, you want to see what kids, parents are doing to their children? Look at the music they let them listen to. Oh, it's just horrendous. Let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Let's just find a couple more verses. People go, well, my Bible says we've got angels, I'll be an angel. It does not say that. Oh, Psalm 34. We can do the whole chapter. Let's look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Well, see, you're putting your trust in the Lord, so then this must work for me. No, it doesn't. Read the whole thing. Look at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. So you think you're righteous? You're doing a good job? So see, God's watching you. And his ears are open unto the cry. So if you do good as a righteous Christian, then God's going to watch you and listen to you. See where they go with this Psalm stuff? We're not righteous. We have his righteousness. So yeah, we know he's there with us, according to what Paul taught. But we certainly can't go to this verse because it doesn't talk about his righteousness. It talks about ours. That our righteousness are his filthy rags. We needed his. Now that we're saved, we can now do the kind of righteousness that pleases him. But we don't want to, or our parents won't allow us, or our husband won't allow us, or our wives won't allow us, or our employers won't allow us, or your flesh won't allow you. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It is. Look at what's going on out in this world. They're having a great time. I mean, every piece half the world, half this country thinks that now we're going to get back to be a good country again, now that we get Republicans back in. Yeah, right. Look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Okay? Look in the mirror. Have you been delivered from all your afflictions? Look at ladies out there working. Look at ladies, you got worthless husbands. Look at men, you got worthless wives. Look at parents, you got worthless children. Look at children, you got worthless parents. Look at the church you're going to. They're lying to you. And you're dumb enough to follow along because you're still there. I mean, why has God not delivered us from all this stuff? Where's the problem? Well, see, you're following Paul. You're wrong. That's why. That's why God hasn't delivered you. You're wrong. I guess Paul was wrong because he sure had some afflictions, didn't he? Sorry, wait a minute. I guess Christ was wrong because he sure has a lot of afflictions. Anyway. The whole chapter just, you know, it just shows how you, and people love the Psalms, but they come out of that thing with on their own works. Psalms rightly divided is a tough thing for people to deal with. What else we got? I got Psalm 91. Let's just see what Psalm 91 says here. Where do people get this angels baloney? Remember, your friend, you just lost a friend because they don't want to hear what you say about angels. So if you leave because you don't want to hear about angels, I know where you're at. So now if you have to leave, I won't know why you're leaving. So you'll think I think that you believe in angels. See, so now you can't leave. This is a guilt trip thing. It's like an invitation. Some pastor's preaching about some really shameful public thing, and you've got allergies, and your eyes are crying. So your eyes are watering. I've had this 1,000 times with allergies, and people must think they'll see. And he's being convicted over there. He's a drunkard. He's an adulterer. He's an addictor. He's a druggie or whatever. Because he's crying during the sermon. That must be him. That must be his problem. So if you leave, then I know you don't like. You believe in angels. So I guess you can't leave. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. And so they're talking about the Lord, but somehow when people get into the... I wonder, let me check out here. Reach behind me into my vast collection of knowledge, because I can get it into my brain here. Maybe NIV puts an angel in there somewhere. I mean, you got to stress to make an angel out of that thing, but that's one of the proof verses. No, there's an angel even in the NIV. How about that? So they're going everything they can to prove that they got angels. You go to Daniel 6, well, angels kept Daniel from getting chopped up and all that kind of stuff. Well, go ahead. Go over to Spain and jump into the bull highway there when they're chasing the bulls, the running of the bulls or whatever, and say a little prayer and have your angel protect you. You know, what do you say to somebody when their children are sick, or their children are died, or are dying? Where's their angel? What's the deal? Somebody in Vietnam or something, or whatever, not Vietnam, I'm sorry, in Iraq or whatever, and your whole troop gets killed. All 15, I was listening to this yesterday, 5 or 15 of them or whatever, everybody's killed except him. And he said he prayed and God just protected him. Well, what, those other 15 didn't know God at all? You think these other 15 guys didn't pray somewhere along the line there? You know, a lot of people get tired of hearing that stuff. I used to hear people complain about that. And I understand that. Everybody's house burns down in the fire but yours. Well, I prayed, you think you're good enough and clean enough that God saved your home because you have an angel watching after you. Nobody else in the neighborhood dies, kind of thing. How do you answer that to people if they believe in angels, if you believe in angels? I guess your angel kind of let your child down, didn't he? Wasn't a very good angel. He must have been one of the fallen angels or whatever. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 6, there's another illustration. God opens their eyes so they can see all the host about them around the mountain there. You go to Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 52. Here's an Acts one. So those are all Old Testament. Catholic. Well, so is Acts chapter 7, actually. In some respects it is, because they're still following the gospel stuff, even though it's the risen Savior. He still teaches them the gospel. Acts chapter 7, 52 and 53. You'll see what it says. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, have they slain them, which showed before one of the coming of just one, whom ye have been betrayed as murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of the angels, and have not kept it? Oh, okay, so that's what angels are mentioned. Because the word angel is in your Bible, doesn't mean that you've got your own individual angel. Look at Luke chapter 1. It doesn't mention this at all. Matthew, Mark, Luke 1, verse 11. Well, this is the Christmas story, as we put it. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Well, exactly that kind of stuff. Just because it talks about angels doesn't mean we got one. It doesn't mean we're going to be one. Any of that stuff. So what do we have then, okay? What do we have if we don't have an angel? Well, who wants an angel when he can have the Lord himself? Who wants an angel when he can have the Spirit of God in us? When the angels watching after us? We've got a King James Bible watching after us. And the Spirit of God will guide us through that Bible through our lives. We just choose not to do it, that's all. Most of the messes we're in is because we're just not following what Paul teaches. Maybe we're not allowed to follow what Paul teaches. Well, whatever the reason is, this is what's going wrong. Divorces and stuff. There's not a marriage that will fall apart if you follow Paul's way, which includes grace, and includes mercy, and includes prayer, and it includes doing the right thing without being Mr. and Mrs. Perfect and the sinlessness concept. I know some marriages that are falling apart right now. And I know where the Bible says they can fix it, but they won't do it. It's just a pride thing. I know some of the messes people are in is because they're not doing it Paul's way. God, if you do it Paul's way, you'll still be in a mess because the world won't accept it. Well, right. But you'll be doing right. Let's go here to John chapter 14. Let's look at a couple of things here now for some positive. Forget the angel stuff. That's just malarkey. It's baloney. I wonder what malarkey is. I'm sure Mark will look it up real quickly. What is malarkey, if it's even in the dictionary? What's a malarkey? John chapter 14. This isn't to us, remember. This is to Jews. So John chapter 14 says, I will not leave the comforter. I will come to you. He's going to send the comforter. He'll abide with him forever. He says here in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. And he does. I knew you'd do it, Mark. Exaggerate or foolish talk. Snookered by a lot of malarkey. There we go. That'd make a good sermon. The First Baptist Church of Malarkey. Pastor Malarkey here. Tushy Malarkey Church. Kadoka Malarkey Methodist Church. everywhere. Come on, it's just, come on. I can't think of a church building that's got a church inside of the people that are coming inside of that place that are teaching Paul the way Paul ought to be taught, straight out of the Bible. I got the video now. I wish I could put my feet up, but I suppose they're better than others. So the Jews are promised a comforter. Well, sure. How can you say that? Because it's in John. Look at John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Then he says in verse 14, he shall glorify me, not the Holy Spirit that kills the Pentecostals, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit was going to teach those people what Jesus wanted them to know. Okay? That's Gospels. That's Great Commission stuff. That's the way it worked. And that's the way it worked up until 611, I'd be without a shadow of a doubt, that the Holy Spirit guided people. Guided people into the truth. If that preacher guy or that prophet or that missionary or whatever had the truth, God would guide people to that guy. What do we have today? We have a Bible. That's the truth. So the Holy Spirit will guide people to that Bible. If that preacher is preaching the truth, then the Spirit can guide those people to that preacher. But that's not happening today. A, nobody's preaching the truth. And who's going to be led of the Spirit these days? They'd be following the Antichrist spirit, their feelings, their angel will guide them along the way. Okay, so what about us today? That's still all Jews stuff. And the Pentecost thing was coming, and they came, and the Jews were there, and they got the flame, like it was a fire or whatever, came down upon them, and yeah, they received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. What about us? Today, us. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is now, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you're not saved. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, we've got Christ in us. We've got the Spirit of God in us. What's an angel going to do for us? So anyway, who needs an angel when you got the Spirit of God in you? Who needs an angel when you've got Christ in you? But see, these people in the gospel books there, they didn't have that. They didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. So why are people going to the Gospels for teachings when the people didn't even have the Holy Spirit yet? Jesus hadn't even died yet. They were following the law. In order to be a believer in the gospel, you had to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Acts 8:37 says that this guy believed that, yeah, I believe that Christ was the Son of God. Well, if believing Christ is the Son of God is going to save you today? Come on, read your Bible with a brain behind it instead of just what some pastor, priest, or your wife says to you about what's going on here. Just because you can't get any smooching and hugging, you're going to believe what she wants you to believe? That's baloney. Okay, let's go here to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, there's Christ in verse 12. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Angels didn't do that. We're sealed. And they weren't sealed in the gospel days, and they won't be sealed in the tribulation days. And then it says in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's just a down payment. Just a little earnest to kind of keep everything. So, who wants an angel when you can have Christ? Who wants an angel when you can have the Spirit of God? Who needs an angel when you got a King James Bible, rightly divided, of course, looking to Paul's gospel, because Paul's gospel are the teachings of the risen Savior. Everybody believes that Jesus Christ rose, but they ignore everything he taught when he rose? Malarkey. There we go. They're full of foolish talk out there. And these people believe it. They're snickered. They believe in angel relations. They believe in the angel of light. They believe in the devil. They believe in their minister, of course, they're, because he's the minister of righteousness, their own righteousness. Got into the thing the other day, yesterday, on that Stockholm Syndrome thing where people can't leave because they've been held hostage for so long that they've actually become associated with the hostage keepers. And every now and then a hostage keeper, one of the criminal guys, would do something nice to them. So one nice thing, nine bad things, those hostages had sympathy for the crooks. And I just really, this is what's going on in people's homes. This is what's going on with parents and kids. This is what goes on with church people and their pastors. They can't leave their pastor who's lying to them because he's done something nice for them. And really, all that Stockholm Syndrome is just helping somebody learn how to handle their old nature, their flesh. And pastors are preaching and teaching biblical psychology that should I help you be a better person. Well, all you got to do is follow the teachings of the risen Savior, and he'll change your life. He'll change your nature. We're always going to fight the fight, which is why Christ cut us away from the soul, cut us away from the flesh. That's Romans, that's Colossians chapter 2, 11 through 16. Romans chapter 7 says Paul had the same sin in him. We're not looking to stop sinning. Christ took care of sin. Now we can live a life to please him. Because we have his grace, when we mess up, we can stand up and keep going again. It isn't so we can do bad things on purpose. I tell you, if we could find someone that's got some ears attached to their heads, the ears are missing from people's heads anymore. Have you noticed that? You don't hear a thing anymore. Okay, here we go. Let's go on here some more stuff. Let's go here to go to Galatians chapter 2. Who needs an angel? Why do these people think they need angels? Because their pastor, the priest, their minister, their wife, their husband, their teacher, their professor, isn't teaching them the truth about the risen Savior. Go to Galatians chapter 2. They don't know this in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, and then nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Who needs an angel? People don't have Christ in them, I guess, and they're going to follow the angel of life. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So let's look at NIV, Galatians 2:20. No wonder people don't know what's being taught. Look at verse 20, in NIV. I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That sounds good. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. No, we live by the faith of the Son of God. We have his faith, not ours. So Dad sits around the house and tries to do a Bible study because he's a dad that wants to do right, and he lies to his children. That's happening all over the place. Oh, we got, let's look at Ephesians 3:17. How are we doing for time here? Ephesians 3:17. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. See, there we go. Look at Colossians 1:27. There's verses that talk about Christ in us. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. That's what Paul teaches about Christ being in us. They didn't have Christ in them in the gospel. They don't have Christ in them during the tribulation, because Christ will leave them. He'll try to correct them or chastise them. God doesn't have to do that to us. He chastises us through his words. There's no judgment. God doesn't even judge lost people today in the world. That's why everybody, why it makes it look like everything's so nice out there. God's not shutting them down. God's not judging anybody yet. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 tell us that. Their judgment day is coming. And he gives them up to the last breath to get saved. So, here's a quick thing here. What does Paul say about angels, by the way? Does he say anything? Well, sure he does. He talks about them all the time, actually. Not a whole lot. He says in Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, that we're going to be the ones to judge angels. So, why do we want an angel if we're going to judge the angels? What angels are we judging? So the angels have been kicked out. There's a long story. There's a sermon on that. I've got that study on there. If we go to Colossians chapter 2, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. So the people that worship angels today. Paul tells us not to do that. They're puffed up in their fleshly mind, he says. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, so that's the future that's happening. 1 Timothy 3:16, here's the definition of godliness, which is not proper length of hair and correct dress, all this kind of stuff. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Colon. Here's the definition of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. You believe that, that's godliness. Paul doesn't say anything about having an angel. They exist. They've always existed. They're going to exist, and they've got their purpose. Their purpose is not our messenger. Their purpose is not to take care of us and to protect us. That's just malarkey. We have Christ in us. We have the Spirit of God in us, sealed. So what do you tell somebody that talks about angels? Goodbye. It's been nice knowing you, because they're not going to want to hear it. And they're worshiping angels, probably. So there you go. There's my stuff on angels. Not as many coughs as I thought I'd come up with, but I managed to put a bunch in there. We've got a King James Bible. Who needs an angel when you got a King James Bible? And the Spirit of God showing us the truth by rightly dividing that thing. We don't get confused and caught up with junk. We understand that the Gospels are written to the Jews. We understand that the Hebrews to Jude is a book, are books written to the tribulation people. We realize that Corinthians still is rightly divided Corinthians, because some of that stuff is before the King James Bible. Acts, we know, isn't written all to us. It's history. We know that most of the books in the New Testament were written during times of that Acts. That's why Paul is talking about Jewish things in the early part of Corinthians, because Corinthians was written in the early part of Acts. There were Jews there. But by the time you get to Ephesians and Colossians and Timothy and stuff, the Jews are out of the picture. So we know that stuff. Based on rightly dividing. Angels, I don't need a clearance. And any clearance that hangs around me is going to be of the devil. He's never going to get his wings. So that's just life. So, adios. Good night. We'll see you tonight. Hope the cough is a little better. Well, look at the Paulicians. Don't let that scare you away. Oh, dull, boring history. They're pretty fascinating when you look at what we believe today and what they did in the 700s before there was a Bible. How'd they know this stuff? Where'd that come from if they didn't have a Bible then? There's my point, see? Yep, we'll see you tonight.